the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Where to start with the mad world of Trump's America? We're joined by Marion McCone and Cal Thomas. Cal, maybe you could start by telling us a little bit why Democrat lawmakers are having to flee Texas.
Well, they say because Governor Abbott, the Republican governor, has called a special session to redistrict the state. This is normally done under our Constitution, Matt, every 10 years after a census where the 50 states are then allowed to redraw their congressional boundaries based on population. On occasion, they do it in between that. And the great irony here to me is that the Democrats from the Texas legislature have fled to Illinois, which is a state that has been one of the worst abusers of redistricting between the 10-year census. It's very easy. They could come back. If they don't like what's happening, they could petition the courts to make a ruling on this. But it's just more political theater. California is doing the same thing. New York now threatens to do the same thing. And it's just gotten out of hand, frankly.
Okay, but Marion McCone, isn't this a case of where there is an edict has come from the White House to do this, to try and effectively carve out 5 extra Republican seats for the midterms?
Exactly. You know, this is, I mean, Cal, I think the thing with this is that every 10 years this is supposed to happen. Now, Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, who when Trump says jump, he just says, yes, boss, how high, literally just decided that in the middle of 5 years in, like it's not due for another 5 years, that he's going to do exactly what Trump wants because they're afraid that they might lose a couple of seats in the midterms. I'd say they might lose a lot, and that this will buffer them against losing control of the House. It's so nakedly transparent what they're doing. It's absolutely ridiculous. If it was the end of the 10-year cycle, you'd say, fine, of course. And the Democrats are absolutely right. Abbott does need a two-thirds quorum, unfortunately for him. And so while they're out of the state, Democrats hold about 61 seats, I think. So while they're out of the state, they can't hold this. Now, it will happen eventually. This is just a delay tactic. But exactly as you said, what's to stop then New York doing the same thing and basically cutting out all the Republican seats? What's to stop California or Illinois? Because if that's the way the Republicans are going to play, where all respect for the laws and the norms that had governed all these things previously, what's to stop every having a free-for-all in red states and blue states? And the courts, we saw what the Supreme Court has done on redistricting and the Voting Act. I wouldn't hold my breath for them to step in here and do anything remotely fair or just or honourable.
Would this worry you, this what we call gerrymandering going on, Cal?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's happened for decades, maybe for over a century. I don't like it. I don't like the carve-outs. Now, one of the reasons that the courts gave states the power to do this was because states were discriminating against minority voters, mostly African-Americans, and mostly in the southern states. They would carve out districts that would ensure that blacks could not elect a representative to the House or one to the Senate. So that was clearly racist and unconstitutional. Now, having set that precedent, with the courts doing exactly the right thing in this situation, other states, including Democrats, they both do it. They're both, in my view, doing wrong, have adopted this for their own purposes. Marion is right. It's blatantly political.
And then what about the blatant politicization of the jobless figures or the job creation figures, the statistics that come independently to help government in its work? Because tell us a little bit, Marion, please, about the firing of Erica McIntyre-fer.
Right. Okay. And Erica McIntyre-fer is the commissioner for the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Bureau's job is every month to give a jobs report on how many new jobs are created in the American economy. And it's a really good way of checking the health of the American economy. Now, the detail that goes into this report, just very quickly, not to be wonky, about 120,000 different businesses and government agencies in 631,000 locations stations at over 450 metropolitan districts. Basically, every hamlet, every town, every city in America, the employers there, whether they're federal or private, are phoned up and they're asked, how many people did you hire this month? How many people did you lay off this month? What's the total number of hours worked? And what was your payroll? And from that, they can tell if the American economy is growing or shrinking. It's been a really meticulous way of doing it. It's difficult to get all the figures right on the first day because these people have to get back to you. They're busy. You go to some businesses, they've closed down or whatever. Or the person who deals with this is on their holidays. So sometimes you have to revise the figures downwards or indeed upwards. Now, it turned out that the last 3 months, the figures have been dismal. The figures for May and June were downward. There were downward revisions by about 258,000, which is huge, which means 250,000 fewer jobs were created than had been boasted about and that Trump legitimately may have believed. 33,000 jobs were only created and none of these were in manufacturing in May and June, and then in July, 78,000. These figures are horrible, and they're probably horrible because Trump's, the main planks of his economy, of his claim that he's going to set the American economy into orbit, are through immigration and through tariffs. And both of these things, as everyone who knows anything about the economy has said, are going to have a horrible effect on the US economy. And now we're seeing the first signs that this may actually be true. So, of course, what does Trump do? He can't take, he won't read the message, which is loud and clear. He fires the person, the messenger. And just to make it clear as well, this woman, the commissioner, who is really widely respected, she's been a civil servant for decades, she doesn't see the figures until after they've all been compiled. There is no fiddling with her. Trump claimed that last year that they fiddled the figures for Kamala Harris. In August last year, they did a downward revision of 818,000 jobs, way more than this. This is bipartisan, and for Trump fix is ridiculous.
Let's hear him on CNBC this morning on this.
Days before the election, they put out numbers that it was like the country was on fire. It was doing so well. And then they did a revision about 2 weeks later, and the revision was down by almost 900,000 jobs. You remember that? And I said, what would have happened? What would have happened if I lost? Think of it. I would have said... They gave phony numbers, and then they revised them a week and a half later.
Those were benchmark numbers, though, Mr. President. That happens. They do that. They do that twice a year, and it reconciles the monthly figures with, like, the overall numbers. And it was a big number, and obviously...
The numbers were rigged. The numbers were rigged. Biden wasn't doing well. He was doing poorly. They announced these phenomenal numbers 2 days before the election. But think of it. Then they did the biggest revision, I think, in history... of almost 900,000 jobs, and it turned out to be more than that because later on they did another revision. And so they gave phony numbers in order to win the election.
Almost everything about what he said there is a lie, as it happens. As Marion has already pointed out, the revisions had been done previously, and also in the week running up to the election, it was announced that there had just been 12,000 jobs created, really weak job figures. So before I go back to Cal, let's hear a little bit from the former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers responding to the firing of the statistician Erica McIntyre-fer.
I mean, this is... way beyond anything that Richard Nixon ever did. I'm surprised that other officials have not responded by resigning themselves, as took place when Richard Nixon fired people lawlessly. There's no conceivable way that the head of the BLS could have manipulated this number. The numbers are in line with what we're seeing from all kinds of private sector sources. This is the stuff of democracies giving way to authoritarianism. Firing statisticians goes with threatening the heads of newspapers. It goes with launching assaults on universities. It goes with launching assaults on law firms that defend clients that the elected boss finds uncongenial. This is really scary stuff, and it...
Carl, is that not a pretty damning assessment of authoritarianism there from the former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers?
Well, you may remember, Matt, that Trump promised during the election campaign when asked if he was going to get revenge against people who had in the Congress and other places who had indicted him or impeached him or whatever. And he said, no, no, I'm not going to do revenge. We're just going to be successful. Success is the best revenge. Well, apparently he didn't meet it because, as you say, and as Larry Summers says, he fires people who will not kowtow to his beliefs. Look, these statistics, as Marion mentioned, and as everybody knows, are always adjusted. The first time they come out, they say one thing, and then when additional information comes out, they are adjusted up or down, depending on what that information is. You can't lie about statistics. 1 and 1 will always be 2, whether it's said by a Republican or a Democrat.
Yeah, but what about the bigger point that you have an authoritarian president now who is firing people or suing them, anyone who goes up against him? I mean, what is that going to do to the United States of America? We see, for example, that one of his runners, Pam Bondi, is now seeking a grand jury review of the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. God knows how truthful that is likely to be and how much of that in reality is another part of the distraction theory, trying to make sure that people don't look towards Jeffrey Epstein and how Ghislaine Maxwell has been treated as she's transferred to a low-security prison in Texas.
Wow, Matt, you've got 4 subjects there. Let me see if I can get through them in a hurry.
No problem to you, Cal, but a man with a big brain like yours.
Well, that's right, yes. Okay, well, let me just quote from an Associated Press story from March 31st, 2022. Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee have agreed to pay $113,000 to settle a Federal Election Commission investigation into whether they violated campaign finance law by misreporting spending on research that eventually became the infamous Steele dossier. So there's plenty more to come out on this, and I have no problem with a continuing investigation. Now, with respect to Ghislaine Maxwell, the Federal Bureau of Prisons moves people around for any number of reasons. Now, the conspiratorial people will say, she has made some kind of an initial deal, and so she's going to go into what they call Camp Cupcake, a very low-security prison in Texas. Now, nobody knows for sure. Let's see. What else did you say? What else did you bring up?
Well, Pam Bondi and her Trump-Russia investigation.
Yeah, right. Well, as I said, the AP story.
Yeah, sorry. It's the overall point, Cal. It's distraction theory. It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
So
I
if some, and also the worry is that, you know, the certain documents will be taken out of context. Things will be distorted. Things will be withheld. That you're basically going to have a complete perversion of the judicial system as well as a perversion of the political system, which seems to be ongoing.
Well, that's true, and that is not unique to the Republicans. Look, if I were president, which I'm not going to be because I couldn't afford the pay cut, I would focus on what I could do to improve the lives and the position of most Americans. I wouldn't be focusing on revenge or retribution or any of these other crazy things. Trump even wants to build a massive ballroom on the White House grounds. Apparently, the modest White House building is not big enough to contain his ego. I just think this is a complete distraction. There are a lot of things going on that the president has done that I would say are good, but as you indicate, he's all over the place on this egocentric stuff that takes away from any successes he may have.
And he wants to put a nuclear reactor on the moon by 2030 as well, Marion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, and good luck with that. But I think what the other thing, and this may be a distraction from, is he wants to close down 2 installations on the moon, the one that measure the amount of carbon dioxide in the air, which are really useful to farmers and really useful to people monitoring climate change. So he wants to basically put those out of commission because, again, they may give more data that he doesn't like, and then talk some nonsense about a nuclear reactor for his buddy Elon Musk. You know, this are his experts. This is all, and I do agree with Cal, but you know what I worry about with all this as well is that when you go after, they're also going to prosecute now or investigate Jack Smith, who was the investigator in January 6th, who is known for his integrity and professionalism. Guys like Jack Smith, Richard Weissmann, Mark Pomerantz, these were all federal prosecutors, brilliant guys who could have worked in private law firms for and made 100 times a year, and I'm not exaggerating the money they make. So the effect of this is to drive brilliant people out of public service. You know, to people who now think they're going to get fired for doing their jobs. They can all make a lot more in the private sector. So Trump isn't just gutting the federal sector by firing people with these DOGE clowns. He's also doing it by driving people out and demoralising them and persecuting them for just doing their jobs.
Well, at least he likes Sydney Sweeney. Okay, we better leave it there. Thank you very much for that, Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.